بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الصلاة معراج المؤمن وقال أيضا المصلي يناجي ربه We have been discussing the asrar of ibadat in each and every month of Ramadan since the last several years and in the previous years I talked about the asrar of qiyam in the prayers and the asrar of ruku' and the asrar of sujood and in this month of Ramadan the same subject continues and we will talk about inshaAllah sirr al-qunut and sirr al-tashahud and sirr al-taslim in the prayers what are the secrets behind the concept of qunut in the prayers in the eyes of our urafa how they have described in the light of the Quran in the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and likewise the asrar and secrets of tashahud that we do either once or twice in the prayers or and also the asrar and secrets of taslim that means saying the last three salams that we say before we end our prayers also like I have explained in the previous months of Ramadan that in Islam we have ahkam and we have adab and we have hikam and we have asrar and there are differences between these four things ahkam are the rulings related to the furu'uddin which tells us teaches us our obligation and fariza towards Allah our takleef al-shar'i towards Allah this is wajib this is haram This is mustahab, this is makruh, or this is mubah. Al-ahkam al-taklifiyya. So, ahkam are the rulings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in his wahi and revelation upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Whereas adab, al-adab huwa wasful musalli. That's how our scholars have defined. Adab is a wasf, it's a sifat, it's a na'at. It's an attribute of the person who is praying. Because we are talking about prayers, so that's why I'm discussing about musalli, the person who prays. Adab is the etiquette, the adab, the etiquettes that the person who prays must fulfill in his soul. If we have the adab and etiquettes fulfilled, That means our spirituality contains the sifat which are required for a person to be eligible to make sure that his prayers is maqboola, is accepted in the eyes of Allah. So if you fulfill those sifat in your soul, that's how you can make sure your prayers are accepted. If you don't fulfill the sifat in your soul, We have no way to make sure and become mutma'in and mutayaqqin and have yaqeen and certitude that our prayers are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has reached the darajatul qabuliyyah. So it is through the adab, the sifat of the musalli, the sifat ruhaniyya, the spiritual attributes of the musalli, that we make sure our prayers are accepted. So adab entitles us to make sure that our prayers are accepted as well. Not just they are correct according to the laws of Islamic jurisprudence, the ahkam, not just they are correct, but also they are accepted. Because it's something more than being correct. Being accepted is something more than being correct. So this is ahkam and adab. Now what is the hikam? The example of ahkam, like we have these ahkam for the prayers, these are wajibat al-rukniya, the pillar wajibs, these are wajibat al-rukniya, the non-pillar wajibs in the prayers. You know, this is mustahab in the prayers to do qunut, this is wajib in the prayers to do tashahud, it is mustahab in the prayers to say the first salam, you know, and likewise it's a wajib to say the last salam. So these are the ahkam of the prayers, some of the examples of ahkam. And adab, examples of adab are like taqwa. Taqwa, innama yataqabbalallahu min al-muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts from the pious. Allah doesn't accept the amal from a person who is not muttaqi. No matter what we do, how much sadaqah we give, how much khums we give, how much hijab you practice, whatever you may do in your life, if you don't have the nur of taqwa in your soul, nothing is useful for you. Everything is less, unless and until you have taqwa and the nur of taqwa is found in your soul. So this is one example of the adab. Adab are the sifat of the musalli. One of those sifat is taqwa. Likewise, ikhlas. Another example of the adab. If we have ikhlas, we do our ibadat only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the sake of any affairs of this dunya or the interests and manafi' of this dunya. Then our ibadat is maqbool, is accepted in the eyes of Allah. Otherwise, it's not accepted. So these are some of the examples of adab. Now let's go to the hikam, the wisdoms. In the case of salat that we are discussing, the hikmat I already mentioned in the previous Ramadan, for those of you who were there in the months of Ramadan, that al-hikmah is defined by the urufa, hikmatul ibadah hiya al-ghayatul mutarattibatu ala al-fi'l. It's the goal that you pursue through practicing this ibadat. Where do you want to reach? Where do you want to go by doing salat? What do you want to achieve? We want to achieve the mi'raj and ascension of a mu'min. That's why we pray. So this mi'raj is actually the hikmat of salat, is the wisdom of the prayers. What Prophet has mentioned in his hadith, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. Prayers is the mi'raj and ascension of a mu'min. Mi'raj is the hikmat of the salat. So we pray so that we can achieve the mi'raj, the ascension, and we can also get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the, in the case of prayers, the hikmat is mi'raj. Now coming to the sir, the secret, and the plural is asrar, the secrets. So asrar of the prayers are actually the malakutul ibadah, the batin, the hidden reality of the ibadat. Every single ibadat of the sharia has a batin, every single ibadat, and that batin is visible when we enter into the grave, because now you enter alamul malakut. So when we enter into alamul malakut and hijabat are removed in front of our eyes, we see the batin of the things. And also on the day of judgment, which is yawma tubla sarair, that's the day when the secrets and hidden realities would appear. It was obvious on the awliyaullah and the mahbub and beloved servants of Allah, but it was not obvious on us because we are in the hijabat of the sins. We were blocked out. So those of the Ahlul Ma'rifah and Urafa who don't have hijabat on their eyes used to see the batin. Back then in the life of dunya, we were mahroom, we couldn't see. When we reach the day of judgment, we will see the ta'wil and batin of everything without exception. Ta'wil and batin of everything will be visible, not just known, but visible in front of our eyes, in the form, in a shape, in a form. So batin of every ibadat will also be visible. We will see our prayers in the form of nur. Now the nur can be shadid and nur can be da'if. Nur can be weak and low in its intensity, and the nur and divine light can be intense and very, very extreme, intense and high in its intensity. That depends on our value of our ibadat. So, but basically, asrar means the batin and sir and malakut and secret of every ibadat, and the secret of every ibadat is a haqiqatun ayniyya. It's a real existence. It's not a theoretical thing. It's not shay'un takhayyuli. It's not something theoretical that urafa have been analyzing and doing the tajziya and tahleel in their minds. No. Batin of ibadat is not theoretical. It's haqiqat. That means something which is existing out there. We don't see it. And that we will see on the Day of Judgment, and that we will see on in the grave as well. So now coming back to after this short description of into our subject, we will come to the subject of this month of Ramadan, which is the sir and secret of kunut itself. The word kunut in Arabic actually means at-takhashu' lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means being khashi' towards Allah, feeling the fear towards God, and being down to earth, fearful towards Allah. This is the literal meaning of the word kunut. So qanit is khashi', a person who is in the situation and condition of doing kunut. He is the person, literally speaking, the person who feels the fear of Allah. Now, it has to be remembered that Alamut Takween, the whole world of existences around us, is perfectly obedient towards Allah without any disobedience. We, the human beings and the jinns, belong to Alamut Tashri', and all the disobediences and ma'siyat and jinayat and crimes and violations and ta'addi and tajawuz and dhulm, whether dhulm on our own nafs, our own selves, or dhulm on others. Any kind of takhalluf and disobedience and violation of the divine law is only and only found in Alamut Tashri', that is we, the humans and the jinns. Some of us are the only ones in the whole universe who are violating. The rest of the whole universe, which falls in Alamut Takween, the existences around us, they have zero disobedience towards Allah. They do as they are commanded. They are performing the assigned tasks, and they are muti' and abid and musabbih and hamid towards Allah. So all of them are doing tasbih, they are musabbih. Every particle of the universe, every zarratun fil alameen, every single particle of the universe is musabbih, doing tasbih of Allah, is abid, doing ibadat of Allah, is hamid, is doing the praise of Allah, and is muti', obedient towards the divine command. So they are doing as they are commanded. They don't even think of any disobedience because they're not part of Alamut Tashri'. They're not giving the hurriyat and freedom to decide haq or batil, right or wrong, good over bad, khair or shar. No freedom given to them. Freedom have been given to us, the human beings and the jinns, and that's how we misuse the freedom, or in the name of freedoms and whatever other labels, democracy and freedom or whatever other label we may give, and violate the law of our Creator. That's our choices. So in the world of existences, Alamut Takween, there is no disobedience. There is nothing can even think. I mean, an animal cannot even think of disobeying Allah. A stone cannot even think of disobeying Allah. A plantation cannot even think جمادات اور نباتات اور حیوانات اور ملائکہ, the immovable existences, the plantations, the animals or the angels cannot even think of disobeying Allah. It's beyond their domain to even think of violation. So having said that, we learned that the walalat and ghawayat belong to alam al-tashri' only. There's a difference in Islam when we use the word walalat and ghawayat. Walalat means somebody who has lost his track, he's off the track, he's not on the straight path. Whereas ghawayat means he may be on the track, he may be on the straight path, but he doesn't know what's the hadaf, what's the goal, where are we heading to, he doesn't know. So some people are, as my teacher used to say, you know, Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah in his tafsir, that you know, some people are, they are gum kar diye raah, they have lost their path, they don't know what path they should tread. Whereas some people are gum kar diye hadaf, they have lost the hadaf and goal, they may be on the straight path but they don't know what the hadaf is. So this walalat is somebody who has lost his track, and ghawayat is somebody who has lost his goal and hadaf. So walalat and ghawayat both are found in alam al-tashri' only, they are not found in alam al-taqween. And since every ibadat, specifically the salat and prayers, is legislated, the reason of tashri' of salat, the reason why the prayers is legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a tatabuq بين العالمين, التطابق بين عالم التكوين وعالم التشريع. Allah wants the عالم التشريع, the world of legislature, that means we the humans and jinns, to be exactly similar, to become exactly similar to عالم التكوين, to the world of creatures around us. Just like the rest of the creatures in the universe have zero disobedience and all of them are حامد and عابد and مسبح and muti', all of them are doing ibadat of Allah, doing tasbih of Allah, doing the hamd and praise of Allah, and they are muti' and obedient towards the Creator. Likewise, Allah created, brought this sharia for us and legislated this salat and prayers for us. So Allah wanted we the human beings who belong to alam al-tashri' to become exactly similar in our behavior to the rest of the existences around us who have no disobedience. So salat is supposed to teach us how to become abid and how to become musabbih and how to become hamid and how to become muti', just like the rest of the creatures are already doing all those four things. So it makes us perfectly obedient and without any disobedience. Now, so my teacher was saying that, inside the salat and prayers, Allah has certain things which represent al-nizam al-takwini. Fi dakhil al-salat umurun tumassil al-nizam al-takwini. Inside the prayers, there are certain things that represent the world of existences around us. Represent the world of existences around us? What do we mean? What we mean is that inside the prayers, there are certain segments of the prayers which make you work like a robotic obedience towards God. Just like you find the kids are playing with the games, you know, they press the button and the robot moves. It cannot disobey because it's receiving a command and signal. Isn't that right? So inside the prayers, there are certain things that represent, they are the madhar and reflection of perfect obedience. And one of those umur and things is qunut. So when Allah makes you stand in the middle of His prayers and He asks you to stand and to raise your hands in front of your face, facing towards the heaven, and do just like the slaves do towards their masters. Isn't that right? A slave cannot sit in front of the master when the master is standing. You have to stand up and you have to stretch your hand and beg. Isn't that right? So you have to stand in front of Allah, no matter how big you may be, how big you may think you are. Nobody is big in front of Allah. So when we stand in front of Allah like a slave and ghulam and abd, and we stretch our hand like a ghulam and abd, and we beg in front of Allah, you know, to give us this and this and this. So this segment of salat is the mazhar of tabattul and ibtihal. My teacher said, tabattul in Arabic means breaking away from everything else towards Allah. This is what is required from a servant to do throughout our lives, 24/7, 365. But some of us fail to do that. So when we pray the salat, we are forced to become mazhar of tabattul. We are forced to do the kunut. And when we are forced to do the kunut, if we want to get the sawab, we are forced to do the kunut. And when we do the kunut, we become the mazhar of tabattul, which means breaking away from everything and everyone else in the world and turning towards Allah. At-tabattul ilallah. Breaking away from everything towards Allah. It should happen all the time, but it doesn't happen for so many people. So there has to be a time where you become the mazhar of tabattul. And second of all, in the riwayat we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his wahi to, as far as I recall, it was towards Prophet Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, and Allah sent to him, stretch your hands like a servant does towards the Mawla. So it is required, it is mustahab, again it's mustahab that we, instead of not raising our hands when you are reading dua, you can also, Allah listens. Oh, alimun bi dhati sudur, He knows what is inside your heart. So why to raise your hand? He can listen. But if this is part of the adab, it is mustahab, to raise your hand towards Allah, just like a slave does. That's how you become mazhar of tabattul towards Allah. That means breaking away from the whole universe towards Allah. And ibtihal means giryeo zari. That means you are basically crying and requesting, and you are doing tazarru crying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek your hajat from Him. Now Allah is jawadun la yukhayyibu amilahu. Allah is such a generous existence who never makes a person who turns towards Him disappointed. Never. He is not like that. So when Allah is such a jawad and generous person who never turns down any person who turns towards Him, sometimes we don't turn towards Him. Sometimes we don't. If a person really turns towards Him, Allah never turns down him. وَلَا يَرُدُّ سَائِلَهُ. And Allah is such who never rejects the person who is asking. We sometimes reject so many people when they ask things from us. It's in our reach to do what we don't. Isn't that right? Well, Allah is not like that. So whenever we are sa'il, we ask anything from Allah, Allah never rejects. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has said in his hadith, مَا أَبْرَزَ عَبْدٌ يَدَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْجَبَّارِ. Whenever a person, a slave, shows his hand towards Allah who is Aziz and Jabbar, إِلَّا إِسْتَحْيَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنْ يَرُدَّهَا صِفْرًا. Whenever a person, in other words, stretches his hand towards Allah, Allah feels haya, sharm, Allah feels shy to turn him away, empty-handed, in other words, to turn him away. And hatta yaj'ala fiha min fadli rahmatihi ma yasha, until Allah puts in it from His fazl, extra rahmat, whatever He wishes.
It's our extra rahmat. I mean, why it is extra rahmat? I mean, are we not entitled to receive that? No, we are not entitled to receive that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initially provides all the ni'mat. He doesn't take away the ni'mat from us unless we become mustahak to be mahroom from the ni'mat. Allahumma fil yadhurum lati تنزل النقم اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تقطع الرجاء. Isn't that right? We just read all that. So they are our own sins which causes us to become mahroom from the ni'mat. So it's not Allah taking away any ni'mat. He is not bakhil. Once He gives the ni'mat, He never takes back from any abd. Unless we become mustahak, then the ni'mat must be taken away. It becomes wajib. Then Allah takes back the ni'mat. So when it becomes wajib to take the ni'mat away because of our sins, Allah takes the ni'mat away from us. So now that it becomes wajib that we should be mahroom, we are not entitled. So when we are not entitled, we are still asking. Why we are asking? Because Allah has said in Holy Quran, "Ud'uni astajib lakum." Call upon me and I will answer. And our fuqaha have mentioned in their fatawa that even if your dua is not mustajab, it is still mustahab to ask your dua. Even if your dua is not mustajab, it is still mustahab. So when we ask, what happens? Allah gives from His min fadli rahmatihi, from the extra mercy of His. We are not entitled to receive that. It's not wajib upon Him to do. This is this hadith which I earlier narrated from Imam Sadiq. This is from Jami'u Ahadith al-Shia, volume 5. And Qunut, wal Qunutu mimma yadullu, my teacher had said that wal Qunutu mimma yadullu ala dhara'atil abd wa maskanatihi wa kawnihi dha matrabatin. Qunut again is a madhar of a person showing towards Allah that, oh my Lord, I'm nothing. I'm miskeen. I have lost everything. You know, in our fiqh, we consider one person is faqir, and al-faqir alladhi la yamliku ma'unat as-sana, somebody who doesn't have 1 year of his income or source of income that can suffice his needs. But miskeen huwa aswa'u halan min al-faqir. A miskeen in our fiqh is somebody who is even more broke than a faqir person. So we are becoming mazhar of being miskeen towards Allah. Oh my Lord, I have nothing. I'm totally broke. This is what we are saying practically when we do the qunut. And وَكَوْنُهُ ذَا مَتْرَبَةٍ, and that I belong to the soil. And I don't have the power to stand up in front of you. غَيْرُ قَادِرٍ عَلَى الْقِيَامِ عَنْهَا, I cannot stand up. So, just like look at the dua that we read in the Salat al-Witr in Namaz al-Shab, Salat al-Layl, Rabbi Asa'tu, oh my Lord, I did the wrong. Fahadihi yadaya, these are my two hands, Ya Rabbi, oh my Lord, Jaza'am bima kasabtu, as a punishment for what I did, as a aftermath of what I did. وَهَذِهِ رَقَبَتِي, and this is my neck, خَاضِعَةً لِمَا أَتَيْتِ, and it is خَاضِع, it has خُضُوع, it is down in front of you for all what I have done. That means here my neck is in front of you, and do whatever you want to do with me, in other words. Because what I did, I must present my neck in front of you. This is the dua which we read in the Salatul Witr of Namaz al-Shab, Salatul Layl. In other words, so Ahlul Irfan have mentioned that Qunut has a sirrun takwini, has a haqiqatun ayniya, it has a malakut, it has a ta'wil, it has a reality that exists. And that reality is exactly similar to a sirr tashri'i, to its secret, which is related to the world of tashri' and the sharia and the legislature. Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam, when he was a 6-year-old boy, there is no difference among ma'sumin between young and old. So look at the hadith of Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam. He says, Ra'aytu Rasulullah, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, yaqnutu fi salatihi, he was doing qunut in his prayers, fi salatihi kulliha. وَأَنَا يَوْمَئِذٍ إِبْنُ سِتْ سِنِينَ And at that time, I was a 6-year-old boy. 6-year-old. So, this hadith, our Urafa, when they do the tafsir of this hadith, they say that Imam Hussain alayhi salam is actually witnessing. رَأَيْتُ He says, I saw. He was witnessing the batin of the qunut. Because kunut has a sir, has a secret, has a real reality. When you do the kunut, you are creating the iznillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your amal. Allah creates through your amal a noor which is created because of your kunut. Can you see the noor of your kunut, your own kunut? Imam Hussain alayhi salam was witnessing the noor of the batin and malakut of the kunut of Rasulullah. So, right from his childhood, he was watching that. So basically, there is a batin and sir that can also be witnessed. Also, in another hadith, we find Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and I think I will end my speech here because I think we have gone beyond the time. Sorry about that. I didn't look at the watch. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الْقُنُوتَ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ Whoever leaves his qunut intentionally, his prayers is not a prayers. It doesn't mean this is dalalatun irshadiyya. This is not what we call in usul al-fiqh. It's not dalalatun mawlawiyya. It's dalalatun irshadiyya. He doesn't mean that your prayers is batil in the real sense. What our scholars have mentioned is that if you don't do your qunut in the prayers, the kamal of salat, the perfection, the high level of the perfection of your prayers, you have missed out on that high level. So your prayers cannot take you to the high level where you could have reached, but you yourself opted to stay behind. So your prayers doesn't have kamal and perfection. Inshallah, we will continue it in the next lesson. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. If you have any questions related to the speech, we have, I think, at least 2 minutes before we read the dua.